Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked. I'm your host, Micah. You can tell that I do this all the time. It's the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I am not your resident silly boy, Thor. He's, I don't know, away on sabbatical or something. He's not with us this episode. So my co-host is Dan Barton, friend of the show. And my name is Micah, by the way. I don't know if I said that yet, but Dan, thanks for joining me today.
Not a problem. No problem being a replacement silly boy for Thor.
There you go. Oh, man, I forgot. I was going to introduce you with a song the way that Thor does. So let me restart. Joined again, as always, he's a penguin singing in the dead of night. He takes these broken wings and tries to fly, but he can't because he's a penguin. It's Dan.
It's me.
All right, cool. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Also, this one is very special to me. Dan, your first one was very special to me, but we've had a couple of interactions now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not your first rodeo.
Right. The first time's always, it means the most.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is that why I'm so anxious?
So our good friend Patrick Hooker is actually joining us on this podcast. You may be familiar with Patrick's work. He's done great things like the Get Wrecked podcast intro music that you hear every time you listen to this lovely song. Also, a number of other things that aren't as important, but are still equally as good. Patrick, dude, you're in town.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
I am.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah. This is cool.
Pull this guy a little bit closer to you.
Fist. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome, man.
Very excited.
Let's be careful about the fist talk. We might get flagged for something that we're not aiming on doing.
Dang it, that was like half my conversation.
Jesus. Oh, man.
Dang it.
Now you gotta talk about fisting something else.
Dang it.
Penguins.
Oh.
Penguins.
Like a salt.
The resident puppet. Penguin here is about to... podcast is gonna take a
turn. I was
turn.
Really hoping this would be a tame episode without Thor.
That's right, folks. I'm in danger.
I don't think it's going to be.
And my fist is wet. Sorry. Sorry, I get a little red bull, get feisty.
Oh, you've got those flipper hands too, so watch out. All right. Okay. Does anybody want to jump in? Like, do we have anything to talk about before we actually like dive into this? How's everybody doing? Anybody go Halloween trick-or-treating for any reason? I mean, we're all in our 30s, but...
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And actually something I realized this year, never in my life have I ever handed out Halloween candy to a kid.
Okay.
I've never been in a position to do so. Because like, you know, where I lived growing up and where I live now.
Sure, you probably didn't.
Ain't nobody trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep it that way.
Patrick, what about you?
I don't really do anything this Halloween season.
Yeah. Nothing?
No. Just a bunch of spooky movies.
Okay.
Watched Terrifier, and that was cool.
I've heard that that's awful.
I've seen a lot about that on TikTok and like
amazing.
Stuff like that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's for everybody. It has a little something for everybody.
I don't know if I believe that at
your
all.
Your Christian mom.
Yeah.
Your really religious uncle. You know, everybody.
Everybody?
Everybody. It's great.
Be two-thirds of those, and I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh, you would love it. It's so good.
I don't think I would. Which means it'll probably be on this show at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, nothing. I didn't really do anything. It was kind of tame this year.
Yeah. We have a whole bunch of kids show up in our neighborhood. Like every year it's in the 300 to 400 kids we give candy out to.
This looks like a neighborhood that would have a good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. And there even so a neighbor down the street made their house a construction zone for like a week before Halloween day. And they did a whole haunted house thing in their front yard.
That's fun.
Like they had a giant jumbo screen and they rented like a 100-foot skeleton. It was very wild.
That's super intense.
Yeah. And also a lot of the neighborhood was giving out hot dogs for Halloween. We passed three houses that they just had hot dogs. And they're like, you want a hot dog with mustard and ketchup and little plate?
It's one of those things where, do you trust a hot dog from a stranger?
I mean,
I mean, is it any different than candy from a stranger? I mean, they're both enticing. If
yeah,
like if there was a white van and somebody was like, hot dogs, candy,
I'd be a little more concerned about the hot dogs because of how they go bad a little bit quicker than candy does. Because like you can have candy sitting around for like 6 months. True. You have a hot dog sitting around for 6 months.
We have That's- candy sitting around for a year because we go yeah. out and buy Halloween candy on the 1st of November.
Once again, hot dog for a year sitting in the back of a van, not going to be good.
Yeah.
Not so, there.
Yeah, for me, I'd have to ask the person in the van and be like, did you make them like on a grill or did you boil them? Because... Well,
then the guy driving the van would be like, well, get in there and we'll
find out.
We'll take you where they're cooked, buddy.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. I'd be like, well, I gotta know.
And then you open up the van, there's just a giant roller that yeah. has like hundreds of hot dogs on it. And you're like, wow.
It's like a taquito stand. Just like at your local 7-Eleven.
This guy's legit.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Well, now I'm just going to run a hot dog truck.
Yeah.
New investment.
Just kidding. Now you are forced to work at whatever convenience store. That's how mm-hmm. they get you as yeah. an employee. Okay, let's talk about the penguin, yeah?
Yeah. Sure.
Hey, folks. Make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, crew, so today we are going to be talking about The Penguin. It's an American crime drama television miniseries developed by Lauren LeFranc of HBO. It's obviously based off of the comic book character, The Penguin, more succinctly from Matt Reeves' Batman, played by Colin Farrell. It's, where are we at with it? Episode 7? Is it an 8-episode miniseries? Yep. And episode 8 is coming out at the time of this recording next... Oh, tomorrow it's coming out. So the season isn't quite done. With Patrick coming down to town, we were talking and I was like, hey, you know, let's come to the show. Give me a recommendation and we can make a show out of it. I was really expecting Patrick. I was really, really, really expecting you to give me music.
You know what? There was a part of me that was like, I have like a list of albums that I was like, well, maybe we could talk about this, but I was like, I'm excited about The Penguin.
Sure.
So, you know,
I mean, I'm
switch it up.
I'm not unhappy yeah. about your recommendation. It threw me off because I think we've even talked in the past about, you know, if you're ever in town, you know, think about some stuff to recommend. And you've kind of mentioned some stuff in the past. So when you gave me a TV show, I was like, oh, but I haven't watched this yet. I've been pretty busy. So it kind of gives me an excuse to watch this.
Which also threw me for a loop because right. it's Batman.
I know.
And I'm assuming you really liked the Batman movie.
I really did which like the also, Batman movie. Yeah.
it was, I'm like, how did he not watch this? So yeah. I was very excited when you said you didn't because I'm excited to dive yeah. into it.
Now, which Batverse was this based in? Because I remember you just said something about Colin Farrell.
This is with, it's the newest Batman movie with Edward Cullen.
Robert Pattinson.
Robert yeah.
Okay. And that's what I thought. I got threw off by Colin Farrell. So. Oh.
Well, Colin Farrell plays the Penguin.
Yeah.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
I notice? Did not realize that.
Yeah.
Holy
does
moly.
This change the game in your head that, now?
It was like a, I don't even know,
who did
man.
Did you think that was?
I don't know. I was there for the show and the show alone, but there was so much prosthetic there that I just didn't even recognize him.
Yeah, so Colin Farrell stars as Oswald Cobblepot. They affectionately just call him Oz in this. It also has, I'm going to butcher all of these names. So Christine Milioti.
Of How I Milioti. Met Your Mother fame.
Oh yeah, she was the mother, wasn't she? I recently watched Fargo, the TV series. I don't know if you've seen any of that, Pat.
I've seen all of them. They're fantastic.
Season 2, she plays the wife of the main policeman
who is battling cancer.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, I know her. And I just watched Fargo season two, so that's where she jumped out. But now that you mention it, she was in How I Met Your Mother as well. Yeah, Renzi Feliz, Deirdre O'Connell, Clancy Brown, and a number of other actors and actresses. So yeah, this takes place like right after the Batman movie, and Gotham is still kind of dealing with the repercussions of having the whole city flooded and having Carmine Falcone dying in the movie. Now it looks like Oz is starting to take his shot and rise to prominence within the gangs of Gotham. Full disclosure, I have seen up to episode 4. Patrick is up to date. Dan has seen up to episode 2. We may be talking spoilers. So just to let you know, that's where we're at. It's a series that's out right now. Stick around anyway. I don't care. So, Patrick.
Yes.
Why do we recommend this one? Just curious. What are your thoughts on this? Obviously, you like it.
So,
like,
yeah. So, when I saw The Batman, super surprised by that movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you like that movie as well?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Super surprised.
That was one of my favorite Batmans.
Oh, my gosh. Too. Yeah.
I was shocked that I liked it as much as I did.
But you know what's funny is I think I knew I was going to like it before I even watched it, because everybody harped on Heath Ledger before he played the Joker. Everybody was like, screw that guy, he's not my Joker, you know? And it's just like, and then he turns out to be like the Joker.
Yeah, Joker.
Yeah, the Joker. I mean?
So I was one of those people, admittedly. I was like, yeah. I don't know. But that first preview, man,
yeah,
of him is...
So when I heard it was going to be Robert Pattinson, I said, oh yeah, he's going to slay. Because he's like, the stuff that he does post-Twilight is amazing. Like, he's an amazing actor. In The Lighthouse, he's fantastic. He's in a movie by the directors that did Uncut Gems.
Okay.
Super good movie. He's just done a lot of really cool stuff.
Wasn't he recently in a Studio Ghibli movie too?
Yeah, yeah. He does, putting it into his resume for like voice acting. Mm-hmm. He's just a really cool guy. So I was like, oh, he's gonna slay.
Was it The Boy and the Heron?
Yeah.
He was in The
Boy
and the Heron?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I knew like right off the bat, I was like, this is going to be really good. And Matt Reeves is an awesome director, and he's a great visionary guy. So it was, I knew I was going to like it. And then really the Penguin really isn't in that movie too much. But like when I watched it, I just fell in love with that character. He looked so cool. How ruthless that guy is, and how like desperate he is to like get everything, you know. He wants to be the guy, and his character just really kind of like sucked me in for sure. The little screen time that he had.
Well, that first episode was really intense. Carmine Falcone's son, who takes over the gang, I forget what his name is, I'm gonna look it up real quick, but he was in Marvelous Miss Maisel. He was the husband.
Yeah.
Like the estranged husband.
Familiar, yeah.
And so I saw him and I thought, oh man, Marvelous Miss Maisel's over. Because I just figured that show's done if he's in this show. Michael Zagan. But he plays Alberto Falcone. And I'm like, I really like him. And then as I was thinking that, the Penguin shoots him like 6 times in the chest.
Pop.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's how we're starting this out. Okay. Yeah. Dan, what are your initial thoughts? We've seen 2 episodes. Where are we with this?
So, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah.
There were some aspects that I wasn't like wild about.
Okay.
And I guess probably gonna start with bad, end with the good.
Okay.
So for the first 2 episodes specifically, I felt like it was almost in a weird place. Where there would be just be these like little like shots of humor, or like just the pacing was a little odd to me.
Okay.
Because it would be like the super serious, and then it didn't feel like it knew exactly what it wanted to be, at least at first, to me.
Okay.
Because like all the stuff with Vic, like.
Which one was Vic?
Vic was the kid that he basically was like, you're my driver now, or else I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was that line where he went to meet his mother, and he's like, if you tell anybody about this, and Vic is like, yeah, yeah, I know. You shoot me in the face. It's right in the fucking face.
Yeah.
That was a little humorous.
Yeah. And, like, so there were a couple points like that where I was just kind of like, But what I will say is I really liked the atmosphere.
Okay.
That the show had. I really liked how, so, like, all the villains get sent to Arkham. So they're all crazy. And mm-hmm. it wasn't just like these not even well-adjusted individuals, but like you could see the cracks, specifically with Sophia Falcone, who just came back from Arkham.
Sure.
Like just the little minute stuff that was like, okay, like she is still completely off her rocker at this point. And there, even with him, like you could see the cracks, like in the very first scene. He just snaps and shoots Alberto Falcone.
Sure.
Like, and then he laughs about it. He's like, but then he realized like, oh, I didn't. Well, to me, at least it seemed like he didn't really want to do that. It's just, he ended up doing it because laughed at him.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did he call him the Penguin and then he snapped and shot him? Cause I've noticed that so far in the show, they're calling him the Penguin as an insult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a moniker that is not,
I don't
one that he's very fond
think,
of.
I don't remember him calling him.
He was just the driver. They make it very clear that the crime family makes it very clear to him that they're like, screw you. You are a Penguin. You're our driver. Know your place, you know?
Yeah.
And it drives him nuts, which, I mean, I would. The guy wants, I don't want to say too much because you still have a lot of character development.
You can do spoilers. Like, it's all good. I don't know when I'm going to get to the rest of this.
There's a lot of character development. Like,
pop off King.
He is a character that grew up on the East Side. You know, he's a man down from the bottom, right? So it's like he grew up idolizing gangsters because he lived in the slums and he saw gangsters taking care of the neighborhood, you know?
Right.
So when he becomes a driver for these gangsters and they're constantly reminding him that you are nothing but a Penguin.
Sure.
He loses his, well, I guess, can I say shit? I guess we just talk about a wet fist.
You say whatever you want, buddy.
Are you kidding? Like, do you stop it at wet fist or can I say shit? No.
I mean, whatever you said, Thor said worse.
Yeah. Right? So like, you know, he loses his shit because it's like, all he ever wanted was power. That's why he was so quick to shoot him, because he saw his chance and he said, I'm taking this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
See, I interpreted it a little bit differently than you. So I interpreted that like from the way that he was talking so reverently about that guy, he wanted to be that guy. Because I think Alberto Falcone like hit the nail on the head. He wanted the power to be loved. And when he laughed at him, it was basically like, that's never going to happen to you. Look at you.
Well, yeah, I guess not a lot of people like him.
Yeah. Like, and it basically was like, no, fuck you. Pop, pop. Mm-hmm. So that's how I interpreted that scene, where it was just a quick snap. And
I definitely think that the reaction, I don't know if he entered that room. I don't know if he entered that room with the intention of shooting him. I don't know. I think he entered that room with the intention of raising his station within the family. And maybe once he realized that that wasn't going to happen, the way that he can raise his station in the family is by taking over.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a mixture of both. It did seem that he shot him very off the cuff, but he also wasn't like nervous, scared, or surprised by anything that he did afterwards. He just kind of laughed about it. Like
he
you
does
said.
Make that he because like he's acting as almost like a weird guide for Vic, like throughout the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, and in the second episode specifically, he goes on this whole spiel of like, you have to be adaptable. Like that's all this is. Like, you need to think on your feet.
Yeah.
And so I do think that a lot of it may just be instinct for him too. Like, he's just like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and there's everything that he does as a character in this show is well thought out. It's well thought out. He has been studying these mob families for years. And it's like, I can see where you're coming from where, you know, that he might have not wanted to kill him at first. Mm-hmm. But because, I mean, there was a little, like, half a second after he shot him and he was like, fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think he really intended to do that to your point.
Yeah.
But I think as soon as he did adapt, that adaptable part of his brain went over and he goes, okay, well, now this is mine.
Yeah. This is how I can make it work.
Yeah. And he does that a lot, and he does start to teach Vic that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, Vic. I love Vic. I love Vic. But because I mean, I think that, again, I don't want to go too far in the show, but like his brothers had died, and mm-hmm. it was just him and his mom, which is also a really gross thing. We'll talk about that later. It's gross. But like his brothers were dead. It was just him and his mom. And he didn't really have anybody, you know what I mean? And he has his mom, and he tries to do a lot of this for his mom, like be like a big, strong man, have a lot of money, you know, have power. And he does a lot of it for his mom, like in a lot of like mobster movies. I feel like the strong Italian mom is like very prevalent in those kind of, and that's what she kind of is here. But I think he likes Vic because I see something in you, Vic, you know, like he was stealing his rims, and he's like, I was just like you on the east side stealing rims. Like, you know, so I think he sees somebody that he can kind of groom to then have him look at him as somebody that loves him. You know what I mean?
Do you think that he was adapting, because it's literally as he's leaving the Falcone place that Vic is trying to steal the rims off of his car. Do you think that he adapts and is like, well, do you think he thought, I'm going to need at least somebody in my corner?
The way that I kind of see it with him is he does make a lot of snap decisions.
100%.
But I think he makes a decision and then is like, okay, how can I make this work for me?
Sure.
I think the decision itself usually is kind of like a, whether you want to call it instinctual or like just like reactionary, but I think he always does take what he does, like with the whole thing, like he was just going to kill Vic and stuff him in the trunk and be done with it. But then he started pleading for his life and he's like, I don't really want to do this, but like, it'd be the easiest thing.
Yeah.
But then I think something like, I don't know specifically what Vic said, what was the thing that kind of like tipped over like things in his favor, but once again, he made it work for him.
Yeah.
And, or like, you know, when they're in the house and he gets that call and he just decides, the prisoner's like, I'll tell him it was, what's his name? It's one of the two dudes.
Oh, sure. Like when they're trying when they're trying to find the scapegoat.
Yeah, he's like, I'll tell him it's Vitti. It's fine. And he's like, nope, that's not going to work for me. Just kill
him. Right. Well, and that's because Vic couldn't plant the drugs or whatever.
The gems.
Wasn't ready the gems. Yet. That's
he
what it was.
Wasn't ready yet. Yeah. He was still too fresh.
Yeah, and how ruthless is freaking Oz by like making him go down and lay in the freaking hole?
I loved it.
With the two guys that he had to kill.
What a way to just strike fear in somebody that you're training to be like your like side piece, you know? To be like, go ahead.
Yeah.
But lay in there.
Go lay down. Yeah. Look at what you did. This is on you. This
and
is
Vic's like, come on, man. Which was funny, but like like I said, it was a weird mixture of like levity and pressure.
Yeah.
And like that was one of the things I struggled with.
Okay.
Because I did like those points of levity, but sometimes it just took me out.
Yeah. So I would say that within the next couple of episodes, it just intensifies.
Okay.
I think that any type of comedy that's in there. I didn't really find much.
Yeah, that's the thing is I've only seen the first two episodes, and I can see where it could probably just start going downhill at this point because of where episode two ended with Sophia basically being like, "Are you in?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk about Sophia? Oh my gosh. Man, what a badass.
What a role she has. And again, I'm only four episodes in. With me, the fourth episode recounts her time in Gotham. And then the episode ends, Dan, just to let you know, with her basically killing the entire Falcone family.
Gassing them up. Such a badass. Yeah. I love her. I could just watch a miniseries just on
her.
She is the star. I mean, I know that like Colin Farrell, it's his show and stuff, but she's
a very good character.
Yeah.
She's a very good character. Yeah, there's fucking A.
Well, I think this is one of those examples of like, wasn't she a pretty like relatively minor character in like the comics? Because I remember looking her up and she showed up during like a, it was like a holiday special.
Sure.
And then she was in the comics taken out by Two-Face.
Yeah. I mean, with the Falcone family in general, they've always just kind of been like entry-level Batman villains.
Yeah.
And
the one you send the Robins off to like practice.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because I looked her up too because I didn't know too much about her character. And, like, they call her the Hangman, but then when I went to go research more about the Hangman, then that's, like, a whole different character, like, who's stringing up cops. So I was like, is Sophia, like, did they change the character of the Hangman, or is she just, are they just calling her that, like...
Truthfully, I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know, because I looked it up and I was like, wait a minute, the Hangman's a completely different character. So. Yeah,
well, and Batman has so many stupid villains. As well, like everyone's like, Batman's got the best villains in the world. Well, he kind of does. I would agree. He also has some of the worst. Condiment King, for example.
Calendar Man.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. Wasn't Calendar Man in the Batman movie? Like, didn't he get like smoked at the end? Or am I thinking
in the
of
Batman
something?
Movie?
Yeah. Like while in Arkham.
What, like the Tim Burton one?
No. In the newest one with Robert Pattinson.
I don't know if I remember that at all.
So the one with Robert Pattinson did. Well, I don't know. It seemed like they did pull some from the Long Halloween, like some narrative stuff from the Long Halloween, which had to deal with, at least they thought, Calendar Man, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to go watch it again.
Oh, no.
Shame.
Yeah. Yeah. Long story short, though, this Sophia character, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Badass.
Yeah. She's been pretty great. She's a great... I guess she's going to be an antagonist. I don't know. It's kind of in a weird spot. So, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Nobody here at the table does.
I sure don't. I sure don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Patrick, as far as it getting into, you know, beyond episode four, I guess, is the episode that is ending right now, just tell me this, has the climax happened with episode seven? No. Okay. Patrick's shaking his head. No.
No. No. So you think that it is because, like, so he starts. I can't remember what episode. I don't think it was four. I think it's five. Well, that him and Sophia are trying to basically take over the drug ring and Arkham. So, you know, obviously the drops are drying out. They're kind of old school. You know, they're like, they're, you know, there's plenty of drops. You know, we need something new. So, in Arkham, what they give the
inmates for
the inmates,
like,
they give them this like red drug that kind of like wigs them out a little bit, you know, keeps them calm, kind of like a euphoric type of thing. So, Sophia figures out how to make this stuff with mushrooms. So Oz and her are like, well, we're going to take over the drug ring with this stuff. They call it Bliss. Right. Yeah. So, they go to these different gangs and, you know, to try to push this to be this new big thing. And so Oz, of course, five steps ahead, he's like, this is going to be mine. Like, you know what I mean? He wants to take it over. Right. So you think that during this whole, like, them, you know, using mushrooms, making this drug, trying to get like a bunch of drug lords and gangs to like be a part of it, there's a part where you're like, holy shit, this is like the climax here. Because like, there's a lot that happens there that's okay. That's crazy. And that is not the climax.
That is not the climax.
It's definitely a peak.
Okay.
You know, but by the end of episode 7, you learn a backstory about Oz and about his character. And it's kind of that type of villain where kind of like Thanos, like you feel bad for him. I kind of like him more than the Avengers. Like, you know what I mean? Like you feel bad for a situation, you know, it's his plight of a person to keep balance in the world. So it's like, it's a shitty thing to have to do, but he's like,
I
got to do it. You know, so you feel bad for him, right? Is he a piece of shit? Yes. But like you do feel bad for him. Oz after episode 7, you start to go, I kind of feel bad for the guy. Like, you know what I mean? But then you have to like remind yourself, it's like, he's a bad dude. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like a Walter White situation, but like, you can't feel bad for him. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, circumstances were definitely pressed on him, but he also made those choices.
But yeah, and then Kelly and I, we were having this discussion where I was like, how fragile the line is between hero and villain, right? Because it's like, Bruce Wayne had a really crappy childhood. You know, he saw his parents die. You know, he's like has a really hard upbringing, and he decided to be a vigilante, which is kind of an anti-hero. I don't really look at Batman as really a hero. In his mind, he's being a hero cleaning up the streets, but like it's a very fragile line of what makes him a hero but not the Penguin. Well, it's like the Penguin had a really rough upbringing and all he wanted was certain things. But that makes him power hungry or bad. So it's really cool, like how you look at it. But you have to remind yourself, it's like he is not good. I mean, wouldn't want him around me.
Well, it's the same thing with like Red Hood. You know.
Oh yeah.
Like he is totally justified in his mind what he's doing, but he's also going around like killing entire, you know, squads of gangsters and like assassinating people and.
All in the guise of killing, like, to clean up the streets. It's really weird, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just all perspective.
But, like, do you consider him a hero, or is he, like, almost like a villain? Because, in reality, I feel like you can make an argument either way.
Yeah, it's your perspective on how you want to look at the character, really.
But I'd even, like, hesitate doing, like, anti-hero, because, like, he's straight up killing people. A lot of people, but I guess it just is determined by your moral compass.
But by the end of 7, you definitely get a vibe for why he's like he is. And I think that's what, like, towards the end, when the last episode of the season comes around, that's going to be a really big deal. Like,
oh, yeah?
When you get there, you'll notice.
Okay.
We'll talk when you get to 7. Okay. And then I can't wait to hear you go, What's going on here?
So I guess here's like a weird question. Not even a weird question. What happened? Did they explain what happened to his foot? Or is that part of the episode 7 stuff?
That it's the backstory. So basically, he went to a disco club and he was handing out cocaine to, you know, Tom Ford, Steve Buscemi, you know, all these characters. You know, he got in a fight with Leonardo DiCaprio, kicked him in the leg.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's true. Fact check it.
I bet it is. Leo kicked him in the leg.
That's true. Look it up.
Yeah.
Yep. I stand by it. Fact check it.
I was looking at the reviews.
I believe you.
I was looking at the reviews.
He does have a bum leg.
He does have a bum. There's a scene at the end of, I think it's at the end of episode 3, where some shit goes down and Oz has to like rush to get into a car and him rushing to get into a car with the waddle.
It's amazing.
I had to chuckle.
It's
like,
amazing.
I really, and like way to commit to the bit, Colin Farrell. I just appreciate him speed waddling to a car. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
One of my favorite that I actually did laugh out loud at this.
Okay.
When he was trying to carry Alberto's body down and he's like trying to go down the stairs and he's like real struggling and goes, like, fuck this. He just throws the body down the stairs. He couldn't, like, walk very well with, you know, with his waddle and...
Yeah, like, you know, why bother?
Yeah, no, yeah. They don't really say why it is, but he's just got a bum leg. In episode seven, he was a kid with it. The first episode
shows, like, his foot's all, like...
Yeah, all mangled. Mm.
Yeah, I just didn't know that was part of the backstory
They don't really say.
Yeah, I guess it's not important in the long run, but it is something I was like, is this like a polio thing? Or
it does play sort of a role in some events that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they never say what happened to his Forrest Gump leg. It just kind of...
just gumped.
He's just gumped.
So I was looking at reviews for this. It, for the most part, has been getting really good reviews. However, there is this one that's a 5 out of 10, and I felt like I wanted to give it to you guys and just see what you think about it, see how accurate it is. So I'll just read it verbatim. 5 out of 10 is what I got. Best show of the year? Please give me a break. 6 episodes in, and I have to say, this show is a total flop. It's getting worse with each week. It's so boring by now. It's almost unbearable. There are 2 main reasons for this. 1, nothing meaningful ever happens. And 2, the few things that do happen feel like rehashes of 100-year-old stories told in a far less inspired way. And then there's the endless, empty, pointless dialogue. Just plain dribble. It's the worst kind of soap opera. Where did the intensity of the pilot episode go? It feels like the creators burned all their ideas in 60 minutes. Yeah, and then it compares it to a flavorless piece of gum. So yeah, what do you think, guys? Does that seem accurate?
I'm like 50% that was written by AI.
I was going to say, that sounds like something my mom would write. I'm going to have to...
Yeah.
Mom! That's silly that he would say that. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinions, but like, it's a... At the core of the show, it's a character study, and they're not always like...
Yeah.
Exciting.
If you're looking for action, this is not...
Yeah. It's all character development. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's silly.
They might have heard else. Batman or something like that and was like, action hero. Yeah. And then they watch this and they're like, what is this?
The first thing that throws me off about it is that they're complaining about the amount of action that's in it.
Yeah.
So maybe they just went into it looking for something different and it's not, because literally almost all of the other, I found one that was a 4 out of 10. Everything else is a 9 or a 10 out of 10. So clearly it's being well received. I also heard that a Joker series is getting approved. I'm going to just double check that. But like a Joker series in the same way that this Penguin series got approved?
If it's with...
Corrigan? Or what's his name? If it's
with the guy who played Joker in the deleted scene of Batman. I don't know if you saw that at the very end. If it's that Joker...
What it's supposed to be. Joker series. Max. His name is like Barry Corrigan or Barry Coogan.
Did you see that deleted scene where it's like...
I saw it, but once again, I saw the movie once.
It's all disfigured.
You know what? I think that was the last movie that I saw in theaters.
Batman.
Yeah. That was the last time I was in a theater.
Although, I will say this. Okay.
Man, that came full circle.
I know, that did, yeah. I could probably go without seeing Joker on film for a while. I think there's a lot of other villains to explore, like Penguin.
I'm in that spot too.
You know what I mean? Like, who would have thought Penguin would get its own show? And it's great. You know what I mean? Like, I know Joker. How many versions of him can we get? Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
let's give him a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's give the character a break. Yeah, according to Yahoo Entertainment, the Batman Part 2 villain isn't confirmed yet, but a new report suggests it won't be Barry Corrigan's Joker. Instead, the crime prince of Gotham will be built up as the main antagonist. Oh. Of a Batman Part 3. So that's what they're saying as far as the movies go. But then it says new Joker series with Barry Coogan in works for Max. So it looks like they're going to be making a Joker series in the Matt Reeves Batman universe.
I mean, I guess...
I'm okay with the Joker not showing up for like 6 years.
Yeah.
Because that's how long it's going to take. And I think with Joker 2 Foley Adu bombing super hard, we're probably not going to get another Joaquin Phoenix Joker anytime.
I thought there was a second part that's coming out with Harley Quinn.
Well, so that just came out.
Oh, that just came out?
Yeah, and it bombed really hard.
Gotcha.
It's a musical.
The lowest performing what? Sequel.
Yeah. Dan's face was so confused. Yeah, it's a musical.
They said it's the lowest performing financial sequel, like, made. It just yeah. did not kick.
Well, when you make a Joker movie into a musical, don't now, know about that one, Chief.
Some people were saying, well, did you like the original one?
I enjoyed the original one, yeah.
So people are, it's a stretch, but people like to, you know, defend things.
Mm-hmm.
The Joaquin's Joker is an intense character, right? So he is this otherworldly, like people relate to him really well. That's why in the movie people start becoming fanboys of him. You know, they're painting themselves, he's like an icon. Like in the second one, people are trying to say that the director and Joaquin Phoenix, they were like, how can we say fuck you to the audience? Because like that's what Joker would do. Like there's a point in the whole crux of the film, the Joker, like Arthur Fleck was like, I killed those people. It wasn't the Joker. Like, cause they're all trying to say he's like dual.
Oh, okay.
Dual, what's it called?
Split personality.
Yeah. Split. We'll say split personality. There's like a scientific word for it, but like
dissociative disorder.
Yeah. Or... Yeah. And he's going, no, Arthur Fleck, I did that. And Harley Quinn in the film only likes him for the Joker. She's obsessed with the Joker. That's why she's there. She's obsessed with him. So when he admits that, not only does she fall out of love with him, his whole fan base says, fuck you. And, can I spoil this?
Yeah, go nuts.
So then he gets killed in jail. And the guy,
so then there definitely won't be a third one.
So the guy who killed him said pretty much the same speech that he said when he killed Robert De Niro in the first one. And it comes full circle to be like, well, everybody hates him now because he gave up the Joker. So people are saying that the director purposely wrote this in the way that it's a fuck you to the audience as well to be a part of the same fan base that was with there. And I'm like, that's kind of a stretch for a shitty movie. Like, like, how can you stretch it any further? You're like, that's a reach.
So was there any indication that the guy killing him was going to become a new Joker or anything like that?
No.
Because that's the, like that may have been like a, because the whole mythos is that you never know who the Joker actually is, like their real identity. So I imagine a mythos, like origin mythos of basically like a bunch of people killing each other and the identity changes every time, which is why it gets so muddled in the future. Like that may have been kind of neat.
Yeah.
But it's not that. Yeah. It's just the director saying fuck you to the audience. Like, yeah.
And a very expensive fuck you. You know what I mean? But it just dawned on me. So we were talking about the Joker. When we were talking about the miniseries of like, oh, we're kind of getting tired of the Joker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Matt Reeves is building a whole new universe, right, of Batman.
Okay.
And I was sitting over here thinking, I was like, we would kind of need the Joker to show up in this universe if he's starting a whole new thing. Which,
here's the thing, too, is that, like, he did such a good job with the Riddler that, like...
The Riddler was cool.
That was...
was a cool character. Let me clarify.
It was such a cool character. Yeah. And I think that it's almost been trivialized so much in the past that watching it become this, like, actually sort of terrifying thing, like, I want more of that.
I really liked it. How they treated him like a Zodiac killer type of character. I thought that was a 100%. Nice spin.
Yeah.
I didn't care for the whole online mob thing at the end of the Matt Reeves Batman film.
It was kind of weird.
That to me was a little bit of a stretch. I did also, though, I really enjoyed the Riddler thinking that Batman was on his side for the majority of the movie. That was kind of a cool little twist. But yeah, let's put the Scarecrow in here and like actually give him his dues, you know, or let's, you know who'd be really cool? Firefly would be pretty awesome, I think, anyway. Just a dude lighting things up on for, like, no reason. Just making an arsonist a villain of Batman. Kind of cool idea.
I liked the, what's his name? Cillian Murphy?
Is that Murphy? Yeah.
His version of Scarecrow was awesome.
Was great. Yeah, I wish that they wouldn't have trivialized his character as they went on. Because I really liked him in the first one. And then he had a very small spot in this, in The Dark Knight. And then he, by the third one, he was kind of like a comedic character almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
With running his own little thing in Gotham after Bane had closed it off. But yeah, let's get an actual like cool Scarecrow. Yeah. I'd be all about that.
That acid trip Batman in the first one after he gives him the spray.
Spooky.
That is the coolest Batman I've seen ever. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Yeah. Well, and they did some cool visuals with Batman Begins too, because like when the whole town got hit with the fear toxin, people were looking up and Batman was doing his gliding thing.
Yeah.
And so it kind of flickered to what people were seeing, and they were seeing like a demon flying through the sky instead. Cool. It was some pretty neat imagery, admittedly. Yeah. But let's get other villains in there. Yeah. You know, let's get Ra's al Ghul. Like an actual Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Like eternal elderly man who.
Oh. Like. No, just kidding.
who like lives with a Lazarus pit and mm-hmm. has all of that. You know, I don't know. I feel like it'd be neat.
But if we had a cool poison ivy.
Cool poison ivy would be awesome.
And I feel like with how they handled the Riddler, I think a poison ivy character would lend itself well to, like, you know, because it feels like it's very grounded. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of said, like, with Ra's al Ghul, like, I don't know how they would handle that, because, like, that is straight up, like, Lazarus Pit.
Supernatural.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, like, I can definitely see, like, an eco-terrorist popping off.
Sure.
I'd
even be okay with some weird pseudo-supernatural stuff, though, in the Matt Reeves world.
Yeah.
I feel like if it was a supernatural, this is going to sound like an oxymoron, but if it was a supernatural thing in a very grounded setting... So the supernatural was just a little bit, not like full D&D or World of Warcraft, but
like
magic.
Like a touch of like, what is causing that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I can see that.
I think that would be kind of cool. Okay, so if we had to pick a villain that needs to be in a Batman movie, who do you pick?
I mean, you kind of sold me on Scarecrow.
Scarecrow would be pretty cool.
For the Reeves... I guess I would also be interested to see what they would do with Mr. Freeze.
Ah, you fuck. I was going to say that. That would be such a cool take.
I think if they took the Mr. Freeze route that the Batman animated series did, somebody who's very stern, very calm and calculated, not Arnold Schwarzenegger, he'd be a cool villain. I would agree. You can still say Mr. Freeze.
I would love to see Poison Ivy. I really would. I think that'd be, especially in Matt Reeves' area, she'd be cool. Yeah. The eco-terrorist thing. As soon as you said that, I said,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Because I could see a lot of like really cool things that, well, not cool, it'd be terrifying for everybody else, but like essentially like weaponizing plants everywhere.
And weaponizing plants, that sounds familiar. There's a movie, The Happening.
The Happening.
Just real quick, are we putting Mark Wahlberg in this or not?
He's got to be in it.
As long as he talks to a plastic plant.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
People shit on that scene, but I got to be honest, I laughed at that scene.
It's hysterical.
Because he's like, we're just here, we're friends. We're friends. And he touches it and he goes, it's a plastic plant. Damn you, plastic plant. It was kind of a funny scene. For me, I think I would want to see Clayface. I want to see Clayface.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I feel like that would be a very weird character to do.
How do you think that they would do that in that universe?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, how do you do Clayface in any other way other than supernatural? Like, it's got to be that. But I feel like it would have a little bit of a horror-esque vibe to it. Because Clayface is pretty freaky looking. And I feel like if they were to do it, I mean, the Matt Reeves Batman is very dark in tone.
Yeah.
You know who would be cool too?
Who?
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke would be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah, just throw him in there.
Like just a whole assassin. Just yeah. thrown into the mix trying to take out Batman.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's about that time. We gotta start wrapping it up and doing some ratings here. So Patrick.
Yes.
You brought this recommendation to us. You gotta give us a rating system, buddy. One out of whatever whatevers. That's how we roll. It can be out of 10. You can make it.
Don't make it out of 10.
Make a nice classic score of 1 to 10, or you can do 1 to 15,000.
So 1 to 10 is kind of like an average rating. It doesn't really show too much personality, right? So it's like, sure. Oh, 5. 5 out of 10. Mm-hmm, it's yeah. like, well, what does that mean?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I like to look at things as like 1 to 20 because it shortens the scale a little bit. Okay. So it's like, you know, so you can get a little bit more detailed with your...
Sure.
You're giving us our decimal point without giving us the decimal point.
Yeah. It's inferred. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, if that's the case, I think that I'm going to give... So far, I'm on episode 4. So this is an initial take, but I'm going to say a 19 out of 20. I'm really, really, really liking this so far. I'm leaving that variable there. It might be 20 out of 20. It might be, but...
Now, is that 19.4? Are you rounding down?
What? Are what? What?
19 out of 20?
Yeah.
Is that like a 19.4?
I think it's a 0.5.
Are we rounding down or rounding up? Is it 18.5?
What are we 19? Talking about? Wait,
get more detailed in your rating, okay?
It's a 19.32. Okay. Yeah, okay. 19.32 out of 20. I'm leaving a variable of 0.68 that it may give or take depending on the next 4 episodes.
Now you're understanding what the 20 is.
I guess. I didn't understand.
That's why it's there.
At first, I didn't realize that 1 out of 20 meant actually use impartial numbers.
We need decimals in there.
I need to really see where your rating's at.
It's super specific. All right, Dan, now you know.
Okay. I think I'm going to go ahead and give this a 16.83.
Okay.
And that's just for 2 episodes.
For 2 episodes, which, like, it's definitely above average. I did
that's
enjoy.
What she said.
Not to me, but.
Oh.
No, it definitely was. It was good. And I did enjoy it, but once again, I think I didn't give myself enough time to really. Get into like where things get intense, which is what I was almost expecting from the beginning. So that may have just been an issue of my own expectations kind of shooting me in the foot, but no, I did really enjoy it though.
I'd be very curious to see where your scale changes if you do finish the actual series.
And I think I will at some point. I just don't know when.
Well, if the last thing that you saw was the Batman movie in 2020. I think we're going to have to wait another 4 years for the rest of your...
Unfortunate.
Yeah, let us know how it is, I don't know, after you've been married a year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I would probably rate this 7 episodes in. I'm excited to see how it ends, but I think I'm about 19.75.
Okay.
That all could right. change your sure. take, you know.
Depending on how this ends.
TV shows recently, post-COVID, I feel like a lot of writers flop the ending for some reason.
Yeah.
For a lot of, they don't stick. So that could change, but I have a good vibe that it'll be good.
Cough, cough, Game of Thrones.
Yeah. With the Starbucks.
Cut it off after season 7. Just...
I was really bummed about that series.
Write it off.
I think that might be the most disappointing ending to a series of all time.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you have it, folks. We have... I don't remember the scores. They were infractions. 19-something for me, 19-something. 17. Yeah. Rewind and listen to that if you really want to get back into it. But regardless, all of us think that this is pretty good. Patrick, thank you very much for recommending this. Patrick and Dan, thank you very much for coming over and doing this episode, sans Thor.
You're welcome. Yeah. This was really cool.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for being in your boxers.
Well, when you make that request, I have to acquiesce.
It's on my rider. Must be nude.
Must be, yeah. All right. So there you have it, folks. The Penguin, good score. Next week, we are going to be getting into... we're going to be getting into an old rap album.
You look so excited.
It's not my recommendation. It's Thor's recommendation. He recommended a guy named Slick Rick.
Treat her like a prostitute. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Yep.
I love Slick Rick.
I think that the album is called The Adventures of Slick Rick.
Yeah. It's a good record.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be getting into next week. Thor will be back. I'm not going to cover that without him because I have no desire to. I haven't listened to it yet, but unless Thor actually makes me listen to it, I'm not going to. So we'll see. The show may be over. Who knows? But with that being said, next week, The Adventures of Slick Rick is what we're getting into. Listen to it. Come back. And follow along with the conversation. You can find us on a multitude of avenues. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Threads for some reason. And we're also on Facebook. But most importantly, just you can send us an email at gitrecpod@gmail.com. That's gitrecdpod@gmail.com. So until next time, folks, as always, you get wrecked out there. And stay wrecked. I'm doing both parts.
Oh, I was going to do the stay wrecked for you.
Oh, okay. Well, then, okay. All right. So... until next time, folks.
You get wrecked.
Yep. All right.
I thought I was just going to say stay wrecked.
Get wrecked, stay wrecked, get out of here. We will talk to you later.
I was trying to help.
Bye. Goodbye.